Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, the way that Jesus taught it. Because he, when he was in the flesh, was the only begotten Son of the Father. And resurrected from the dead, sit at the right hand of God, directing what's going on the earth. Not only in the lives of the Christians, but in every aspect of the things on earth. And there is a Satan, the devil, who deceives, who is religious, who likes ritual, who likes to take the words of God and make them meaningless and substitute his own teaching. And you might say, well, how can that happen? Well, watch Church at Home. You'll find out. Take a look at what's happening in the world, and you will see it in operation. Now, let's see the difference between that and what Christ is doing and what the Father is doing so that we can get our perspectives correct. So let's read it. John 6 and verse 63. Very important verse. Because you see, the words of the Bible are special. And when you read them, they have a meaning that you cannot get out of any other book. Here's why. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. And that's what you receive when you are baptized. And if you've not been baptized properly, you need to be baptized again properly. And to come out of that watery grave and walk in newness of life. And that means to come to understand the words of God. And here's why. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You can't find that in any other book in the world, only in the Bible. And when properly translated, the translation contains the same original force as the original, what is called, autographs. That is, the original writings of the apostles. Let me read that again. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now let's come to John 12 and let's see what the education Jesus did. And let's see that Jesus constantly was in contact with God the Father through prayer, through thought, and in some cases, when he would go off by himself, he could speak directly to God the Father. And he showed that to Peter, John, and James when he took them on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before them to show that this comes from the Father. Let's see how some of the people responded in Jesus' day, as well as today. Because you see, everyone who does not want to believe the truth of the Bible or wants to take the Bible and superimpose their own ideas upon it will never understand the truth. And what happens? Automatic blindness comes. You can't understand it. See, because the key in understanding the Bible is to obey what you read when you understand what it says. Try that with the fourth commandment on yourself, where it says, remember. Huh, what does that word mean? Fake Christianity means forget it, throw it away, don't even bother with it. But the fourth commandment reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they all know it's not Sunday. They know. So they know they're living a lie. Think about that. What about you? So here's what happens. Verse 37. Although he had done so many miracles in their presence, they did not believe in him, so that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, who said, Lord, who's believed our report? Do you believe what I'm telling you now? Do you believe what I'm reading right out of the Bible? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And you hear so many of these false preachers say, well, the Lord said to me. No, he didn't. And if some spirit being said to him to do something, stop and think, who's the God of this world? Satan the devil. Oh, but that couldn't happen. It happens all the time. For this very reason, they could not believe, because again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes. Notice what God does. When you don't believe, you're blinded. It's automatic. He doesn't have to do anything because he set that as a law. And it's automatic. And hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. Huh. So there are a lot of people who think they're converted, but they're not. Now, here's the reason why. Isaiah said these things when he saw his glory and spoke concerning him, but even many among the rulers believed in him. Yes, there was like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they believed. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Oh, they wanted to retain their position in the synagogue. For they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. Now, that's quite a thing to understand. See, because all of this comes into how and what did Jesus teach, and why is every word important? Verse 44. Then Jesus called out again and said, the one who believes in me does not believe in me, but him who sent me. See, he revealed the Father. That's what you're to believe in, and we will see later how we're to pray, and it's to the Father, not Jesus, to the Father. I want you to think on that. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Here is the process. This is why it's important for you to know this, so that when you study the harmony of the Gospels, you will be able to understand what Jesus is saying. But if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now notice this next verse. All of those who hate Jesus, all of those who reject Jesus, all of those who misquote Jesus fall into this category. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words. Now think of this for a minute. What did we read in Matthew 5 concerning what Jesus said about the law and the prophets? He did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. And to fulfill means to complete. how many of those in fake Christianity reject those words?
There are people living in the oldness of the letter. No, I have to keep the Sabbath because God said so. That person just doesn't understand that Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, and that such commandment was an announcement of future events. Jesus resurrected on a Sunday, and those who think they keep the Sabbath, they are not actually keeping the right day because one day is missing in the history of mankind. Those who keep the Sabbath are focusing on the wrong thing, thus losing the Lord God's blessing.
Huh? Try it out sometime. Go to your Sunday-keeping minister and ask him about the Sabbath. And he will say, well, that is Judaizing. No, you look at him right in the eye and say, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, and he made it when? At creation. And a Jew did not exist for thousands of years. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word which I have spoken, that shall judge him in the last day. That's something, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Here's why. Verse 49. For I have not spoken from myself. And that means out from within his own mind or being. But the Father who sent me gave me commandment himself, what I should say and what I should speak. So who are you rejecting? When you reject what Jesus says, you're rejecting the Father. Because all of his teaching came from God the Father. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever, notice this, underline it, mark it yellow, whatever you need to do. Whatever I speak exactly as the Father has told me. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? Huh? Yes, indeed. Now, Jesus came to expose human nature for what it really is. You ever thought about that? I'm here, and you're there. What are your thoughts in general? What are you thinking when you watch TV where there's a lot of violence and killing and mayhem and everything like that? What are you thinking when, for those of you who have been caught up in pornography, huh? What's on your mind? What are you thinking when you're planning to, like some of these gangs, run into the stores and crash in all of the displays and steal? What are you thinking? Huh? What is the human heart? See, because when Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, what on earth are you to repent of? Well, it's transgressing the laws of God. Okay. And the very nature in you that causes you to sin automatically. So let's come to Mark, the 7th chapter. The Jews thought, aha, we've got our rituals, we are righteous, and God has to accept us. No. God is not going to accept anyone on their own terms. He will accept you on his terms if you repent. This book, the Code of Jewish Law, not available. You'll have to get that yourself. The Code of Jewish Law. Thousands and thousands and thousands of added laws, which explains Judaism. And Judaism is not the religion of Jesus. Never was. Because Judaism rejects God. And Judaism rejects Jesus Christ. Now we've got another book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or A Religion of Men. Now they had many practices such as washing the hands and pots and vessels and all kinds of things to do and not do on the Sabbath day. Now notice, verse 6, "And he," Jesus, "answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites." Oh, I thought the law and prophets were done away. Not so. "As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me." Yes. Where's your heart on Sunday morning? Well, you go through the drive-thru and get a 3-minute little message from the minister. He pats you on the head. You put a little money in the offering.
Pastor Evie Stewart is taking church and communion outdoors. Members drive through to get a wafer and a grape and a moment of prayer.
So until we meet again, God take care of you, keep you well.
And you drive off for your Sunday golf. What's on your mind? Golf. Not on God. Right? Or fishing. Or hunting. Or shopping. Whatever. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And that's what the whole book of the Code of Jewish Law is. They have thousands of laws which they put around the Ten Commandments so that no one's going to break the Ten Commandments. But that's not the question. The question is, what is the nature of man that causes him to sin? What is the nature of woman that causes her to sin? And that is what has to be changed. But notice what Jesus said. "For leaving the commandments of God, you hold fast the traditions of men, such as the washing of pots and cups, and you practice many other things like this." Then he said to them, "Full well do you reject the commandment of God so that you may observe your own tradition." Now, we've got a series on Judaism right here on Church and Home. Go back and go through that again. So here's what Jesus is telling us. Here's the lesson. Verse 17, "When he went into a house away from the multitude, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you likewise without understanding? Don't you perceive that anything that enters into a man from the outside does not defile him?" Now think about this for a minute. It doesn't enter into the mind. Where does it go? Into the stomach. And what happens to it in the stomach? Well, you got hydrochloric acid and you got other things and your stomach digests it and sends it into the small intestine, and the small intestine work it around and send the nutrition out into your body, and then it's sent into the large intestines where the waste matter is disposed of. It's what Jesus is talking about. Doesn't enter the heart, but in the belly, then passes out into the sewer, purging all foods that you have eaten. It does not say, as the New International Version says, therefore he declared all meats clean. An utter lie inserted right into the Bible by false Christians, false translators, false interpretation. Now, Jesus uses this to show, because you can't come to God until you repent of how you think and what you do and the way that you do it, all in transgressing the laws of God. He says, that which springs forth out from within a man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the hearts of men, now that's men and women. This is what it's all about. And this is what we need to get rid of. This is what needs to be blotted out. And this is why we need the Spirit of God to renew our minds. For from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Huh. What do you think about when you watch those murder mysteries? What do you think about all of the killings and things that goes on? What do you think about when you're watching pornography? Huh? And they have so many adults trying to seduce children on the internet, it's incredible. Murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, guile, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evils go forth from within and defile the man. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 17 and let's see what God said the human heart is like and why you need to repent. Now, you need to be honest with yourself by understanding this. God is righteous, God is pure, God is holy, and there's no evil in his mind. He's made his laws and commandments that if you keep his laws, you'll be blessed. If you break his laws, you will suffer the penalty of sin. And he set that automatic, just like the law of gravity. He doesn't have to do a thing personally to intervene to bring it because he set it in motion in the creation. So here's what he says about the human heart. And that's every human heart. And this is the story of the Bible and why we need Jesus Christ and why you need to repent. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. You lie, you cheat, you steal, you fool yourself. You convince yourself that wrong and evil is good when it's not. What is it that you do? What is it that you think? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Think about that. Isn't that the way society is going today? You watch the news. You see it. It's exactly what is happening.
We begin tonight with new disturbing details. The moments that led up to a homeless person known as the Walking Man being burned alive. The man accused of setting that fire faced a judge today. CBS 2's Tara Molina walks us through what happened before the attack and how police caught the suspect.
In a vulnerable position, sleeping here on the street. This is where Joseph Cromulus was early last Wednesday when prosecutors say Joseph Guardia stood over him for 16 seconds, then poured gasoline on him and lit him on fire. We're told a camera just like this one caught it all.
Creepy clown sightings are happening across the country, and it's no laughing matter. There are concerns that the trend will grow as Halloween approaches. Here's Jamie Ukas.
It's a trend spooking the nation, creepy clown sightings.
Right there at that tree back there.
Children told police that clowns tried luring them into woods by offering money. Since then, sightings keep increasing.
A night of sorrow in Southern California. Friends and family mourning the loss of 13-year-old Rosalie Avila. The teen took her own life after being relentlessly bullied at school.
I woke up and there was screaming, and I had to find my daughter hanging in her room.
Rosalie left behind a letter apologizing, calling herself ugly and a loser.
Let's take one of the greater evils of today right now. Change of gender. Huh? Telling little children, do you want to become a man or you don't like being a girl? Or telling a boy, would you like to be a woman?
I teach my elementary school students about gender identity. Learning about gender identity helps children develop critical social-emotional skills such as self-awareness, social awareness, and respect. I teach my students that there's a whole spectrum of gender identities and that everyone, whatever their gender, deserves love and respect. Some people are girls, some are boys, some are both, some are neither. Gender is all about how we feel on the inside and how we express ourselves. The most important thing I teach my students is that it's our job to listen to and learn from people when they share with us who they are, and that we need to use the name and the pronouns that people ask us to use when we refer to them. Here are some of the books and tools that I found the most useful when teaching about gender identity.
Families marching three by three, hurrah, hurrah. These papas are non-binary. They love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big hooray.
Baby blue, pink, white represent transgender people, and black and brown represent the queer and trans people of color.
We're all in this together.
And then, where did they get the authority to, without permission from parents, to give them gender destruction medicines to change their gender and ruin their lives forever and not have to tell the parents what they're doing?
Right now, if you're as young as 13 years old, you can start the process of gender reassignment and not have to tell your parents. Now, the first law gives 13 to 17-year-olds the right to mental health treatment without parental consent. The second law forces insurance companies to cover gender dysmorphia or so-called gender-affirming care for that same age group, 13 to 17 years old. It also, however, mandates that insurance providers exclusively communicate with the teen patient, not the policyholder, who in this case would be the parent, although they still have to pay for it. But now there's this new law that went into effect 11 days ago that mandates all new health plans have to cover gender-affirming care, including cosmetic surgeries that previously were denied. So now in totality, the treatment for these kids can include everything from puberty blockers to speech therapy, but potentially, obviously, tracheal shaves, so-called top surgery where the breast tissue is removed, and then various genital surgeries. And none of this has to be approved by the parent.
Now, God is going to bring judgment against this nation for that. And you parents out there, you better make sure that you get down to the school and you go after those teachers and you go after the teacher association to stop that evil with your children. The children don't belong to them. They belong to you and they belong to God. Can there be anything more deceitful and more destructive and evil than trying to change the gender of children? When God made us male and female, in every cell of the body, it is marked with the genes and chromosome, male and female. And everything they do to try and change it cannot be done. To what they are doing is taking your children and using them as experiments for their own perversion. So you think about the evil of the human mind, and Christ has come so that we can repent and have evil removed from us. Now those who are dedicated to it will never repent of it, and they have a different future to look forward to, and that is called the lake of fire, which will burn up the wicked, that they will cease to exist forever. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Please write in and ask for the harmony of the Gospels. Ask for the things concerning Judaism, and we'll send it all to you at no cost. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.